नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतलेश्वरे भक्ति विनाथ स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, text 41. This is the first day's verse. I'll read the translation. I'll read the verse. You may not be able to recite the verse together. We do the word for him together. I'll read the verse first. Asmakam thavakhana Tatata Natana Hare Tava Sharana Nalina Yubala Dhyana Buddha Hridaya Nigadana Swadinga Visvane Nasa Kritana Anukampanu Ramjita Vishada Rujira Shishida Smita Valokena Who are wholly and solely dependent upon you. Tata, O grandfather, father of the father, Natana, who are fully surrendered unto you. Hare, O Lord Hari, Tava, Sharana, on the feet, Nalina and Yugala, like two blue lotus flowers. Dhyana, by meditation. Anuradha, round. Hridaya, in the heart. Nigadhana, whose chains. Swalinga, vivara, nena. By manifesting your own form. Atmasakritana of those who have accepted as your own. Anukampa by compassion. Anuranjita being colored. Vishada bright. Ruchira very pleasing. Shishira cool. Smita, with a smile. Avalokena, by your glance. Vigalita, melted with compassion. Madhura Mukha Rasa, of the very sweet words from your mouth. Amrita Kalaya, by the drops of nectar. Cha, and Antaha, within the pores of our hearts. Sapam, the great pain. Anaga, O Supreme Pure. Arhasi, you deserve. Shamayitam, to curb. translation and third quote by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Protector, O Grandfather, O Supreme Pure, O Lord, we are all surrendered souls at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. Now please manifest your incarnation, accepting us as your own eternal servants and devotees. Be pleased with us and sympathetic towards us. By your love-filled glance, with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Dhritarasura, who always taints the course of our hearts. Purport. Lord Brahma is considered the father of the demigods, but Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, is the father of Brahma, because Brahma took birth from the lotus flower growing from the Lord's abdomen. Umajnanatam irandasya janam janam shalakaya chakshur unmelitam yedam tasmai shri gurave namah. Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Tathitam Yenam Kale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Smar Kadamitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttarakamadam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vikam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Haridana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vasho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tanta Radha Tanta Namostute Takta Kamchana Gautami Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhavam Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Pancha Vakata Gupyasya Kapa Sindhu Pya Devacha जय श्री कृष्ण जय कन्हैया प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री गणेश श्री वासवी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे Demigods are offering prayers to the Lord after he has given his darshan, just as we offer prayers to the Lord during the morning program. We sing the Govinda Madhubhushan songs. We offer that as a prayer, it's not a prayer. So here, the Lord is addressed as the Supreme Father or Father, the Supreme Lord. Here the specific focus is relieving the pain from the heart. And that is going to be done by various methods. First method is a drop of sweet, juicy nectar flowing from your mouth. That's the first aspect. Then the second is the smiling glance, which is soothing. Hasam Hare Pamanta Akhila Loka Tibra Sokashu Sagara Vishoshan Akhidara Sammohanaya Rachitam Nijamaya Jesse Guru Mandalam Manikrute Magara Purvase. Limb by limb meditation of the Lord, which is advocated when Lord Kapila is describing this process of meditation on the bodily parts of the Lord. So he describes Asam, Hare, Avanata, Akhila Loka, Tibra. the smile of the Lord. Hasam Hare Avanata Akila Loka Deepa. So the whole world is joining in threefold miseries. That is put out by the smile of the Lord. Sokarsu Sagara Vishoshana Akhidavan. So the meditation begins from the feet of the Lord, then the thighs. So the feet itself, one is advised to meditate on the feet of the Lord for a long time till the darkness in the heart is removed. Because the marks on the feet of the Lord are so auspicious that they drive away this darkness. Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charnaravindam Vajrankusa Vajat Swaravurdha Klamshanatham Uttunga Rakta Vrasan Nakachakra Valam Joshnadhi Arata Mahat Hridayandaka Sanchintaye Bhagavatas. So one must meditate on the feet of the Lord. What does the feet of the Lord contain? Vajra, Angusa, Vajra, Sarodha, all the auspicious marks. And the Vajra in that is smashing the Dunga, so smashes the ignorance in the heart of the devotee and the light emanating from the feet of the Lord also diminishes or eradicates the darkness in the heart. Hridaya Andhakara. Like that, the different limbs of the body, one has to meditate, and I found that very closely matching. So what the lady was praying, where he is addressed as the grandfather, father of the father, by your feet, by meditation on that, then by the nectar flowing from your mouth and compassionate glances, which is soothing, pure and pleasing. And the next aspect they are trying to focus is the compassionate glance. So the demigods are requesting the Lord to cast his compassionate glance on them. Because if you are the Supreme Father of the Father, you are the Supreme Lord, we are your children. So please help us by relieving the distress caused in our hearts. Because of whom? Because of the demon, the Dhritarashtra. Mother Kunti also prays to the Lord, offering prayers, and she also lists the pains that the Pandavas went through. Vishamahatme Purushada Darshanat Asatsabhaya Vanavasa Kuchata Videvudene Kamaharata Shvato Dravnyastra Dastashma Haveri Rakshita. So she starts to list the atrocities that the Pandavas went through. So initially Bhima was, they tried to kill Bhima by putting poison to him. Then the palace, they were asked to go to a palace which was made with an inflammable material, I think it was wax or something. And that was set on fire. Vishan Mahagne, Purushada Darshana. Then they were attacked by various. Within the forest, they faced many challenges in living. Then the peak of all of that is the disrobing of Draupadi. Asat Sabhaya. Vanavasa Krishnadaha. And in the war, it's not that you kill one person and then the war finishes. No. Vridhe neha. And these people are not, those who are on the other side, fighting against the Pandavas, they are not ordinary people. They are, some have, like very specifically Bhishma Dev has, Ichanti, knowing and kill. If he decides it, then he can. So that's why the Pandavas have to go to Bhishma and ask, how can we kill you? What's the method? This is unstoppable. Then, Bhishma is gone, okay, relax, no, Drona. Unless he puts his weapon down, no one can defeat him. Again, Maharatashtra. So, then comes Karna, all of that. So, again and again. Now, this Ashwatthama, finally, I thought everything is over. Then he aimed the Brahmastra towards Madhavagara. That's when she comes running to the Lord. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyamtva Thavayam Prashe Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. If you don't save me, death is certain for me. Pahi Pahi, protect me, please protect me. If I have to die, it's okay. But please protect the child within my womb. So she asks for protection. Dramnyas Tastas Hare Rakshita. So in all those circumstances, Krishna steps in, protects. Krishna steps in and protects. Krishna stepping in and protecting. So each time he comes, steps in and protects. What is the advantage is they are taking this darshan. So that's why next prayer she says, Vipada Santuta Shashvati Tatra Tatra Jagatkuru Bhavato Darshanam Tetsya Apunat Bhava Darshanam. She listed all the dangers. Every time Krishna steps in and protects, elevates. So that's the theme of this canto, which is portion, protection by the Lord. So every time the Lord intervenes and protects, they are able to take the association of the Lord, they are able to see the Lord, His smiling glance, His smile, His lotus feet, His beautiful form. And that's how Mother Kunti begins the prayer, by describing the beautiful form of the Lord. Namah Pankajana Bhavaya, Namah Pankajana Bhavaya. So everything about the Lord is related to lotus. Lotus. Your feet is like lotus, your eyes are like lotus petals. Your navel, all of that. Even Lord Shiva, when describing the beauty of the Lord, he will also describe the abdomen of the Lord from which the universe comes out. The universe will think, oh, the abdomen is so beautiful, now I want to go back and do it again. And that's where you see, from that abdomen only comes the lotus flower, and from that only Brahma is born. So every time a danger comes, Krishna steps in. Another danger comes, Krishna steps in. And then he is constantly giving his protection to the Pandavas. Now that the dangers are over, Krishna wants to lead the Pandavas. So Mother Kunti is praying, let there be more dangers, so that we can see Bhavato Darshanam Yatsya Apunat Bhava Darshanam. Because seeing you means we no longer see the repeated birth and death. Then she lists the qualification of those who can call out to the Lord without any reservation. Janmaishwarya Chuta Shri Dhir Ketama Matakumam Naivadhat Abhidhamvai Vam Kinchana Chutra. can call up to the Lord with feelings are those who don't have high birth, Janma, Aishwarya, wealth, Shruta, intelligence, Shri. All these, if a person doesn't have his akinchan, and such a person, by his devotion, he can buy you. And he can call out to you with feeling, without asking anything from you. From akinchana gochana. So this mood of Mother Kunti is totally in contrast with the mood of the demigods, the way in which they are praying. So every time the pain in the heart of the Pandavas increased, they called out to the Lord and they asked for protection. But there was no selfish interest in that. But here you can see the demigods going through the pain in their heart, and now they are seeing the Lord, they are praising Him. They offered a set of prayers before the Lord appeared, now the Lord has appeared. They are praising the Lord in various ways, in more detail when they actually saw the Lord. And now here, they are describing the beauty of the Lord, but at the same time, as we saw in yesterday's verse, as spoken before, they came to the point of, okay, all this glorification is there, but we are not without selfish motives. But they added one important line yesterday saying, if you so desire, yadi mamya se, if you think it proper to kill the great demon Dhritarashtra, by that remove the pain in our heart. So we are pain in the core of our heart because of the atrocities of demons Dhritarashtra. Therefore, you kill him and then give us the, what we want. We want to continue enjoying our material opulence, wealth and all of that. And that's our motive. In fact, we are, in one sense, we are ashamed of asking you for this favor, because demigods also know that it is prayer with motivation. It is not pure, because they also describe in the previous set of prayers the highest nature of the devotees who do not ask anything from the Lord and who purify the three worlds because of their purity. So, yesterday's purport talked about the demigods being Sakama Bhakta. So, how do Sakama devotees become purified? Is by their contact with the Lord. So, if we step back and analyze how did the demigods get to this position, they themselves are describing in Canto 5, 19th chapter, that they are saying that they have executed a lot of ritualistic activities when they were in this Bharat Varsha. Because you can only create karma here in the Bharat Varsha. You enjoy in heaven or you suffer in the hell. Whatever activities you do here, based on the yajnas they perform, the ingredients they put, the faith. So when a person is motivated by the faith that I can perform these karmakanda sacrifices and go and enjoy in heaven, so that faith is in the ritualistic sacrifices. I am interested in this, I want this, I am attached to both the work and the result. But I will also offer some to Lord, because none of the sacrifices are complete without offering respects, oblations to Lord Vishnu. So that has to be done. So these demigods have done all those ritualistic activities And accordingly, based on the ingredients they put in the sacrifice, according to the consciousness they put in that sacrifice, they get a particular body. And that's how they are sitting in this heavenly planet and enjoying the opulences. And as you saw earlier, heaven is not always heaven. There are problems in the heaven as well. So, they are attacked by the demons, this constant threat, power, struggle. Then on top of that, you fail to offer respects to your spiritual master. And on top of that, in the urge to hold on to your material opulence, Aishwarya, you behead a Brahma who was trying to help you, who offered some oblation to the demons also. So then the complication is increasing. Why? Because they are attached to the results and they want to enjoy. In those minds you are too attached to wealth, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. And that verse from the Gita we can see as a real life example. This is how we understand the verses in the Gita are expanded in the Bhagavatam, as Bhagavatam was saying yesterday. It gives case studies. How does it cover one's intelligence, how one commits various kind of mistakes, and what's the repercussions of that. And despite all this, the Lord says that my devotee never perishes. So that's why you see Lord stepping in and protecting the Lord and protecting his devotees, even though they are gone, they are attached to the work and the results. So in the 19th chapter, the same demigods admit that in the heaven we have forgotten the feet of the Lord. Narayana, Pala, Pankaja, Smriti, Pramushta. Because of the too much of enjoyment in the heaven, we have forgotten the feet of Lord Narayana. Whereas look at the good fortune of those in this Bharat Varsha. The same demigod will make this prayer, famous statement and this famous prayer about how the Lord acts in a compassionate way, how he shows his special mercy. Satyam dishatyat namantikorna aivatikoryat maratikarita swayam vidatte vajatam anishitam icchapidam nijapala pallavam. The demigod was saying, when the Lord shows special favor to his devotees, he offers them a place in his own lotus feet. Even if the devotee doesn't desire, icchapidam, he voluntarily gives shelter at his lotus feet, and that shelter and the lotus feet is a special mercy. Ichabidam, ichapal, pallav. So, in that section, in that purport, it is described that if a child is eating dirt, so what do the parents tell? Don't eat dirt, don't eat dirt. That's one approach. The other approach is, you can distract the child who is eating mud by showing them something superior, by giving them some sweet preparation. When seeing the sweet preparation, the child will give up his or her attachment to eating dirt and they will naturally come to eat the sweet. You can picture this as how seeing parents trying to feed their children. It's a whole bit of a struggle there, right? It's not easy. So they keep running around, you have to go behind them and feed one spoon, and then they go running around and they start eating something else. And then you have to convince them that here is something higher to come and taste this. So that analogy is given, that the material things and enjoying matter is compared to eating dirt. The Lord gives the sweet preparation of the shelter at his own lotus feet. Even though a devotee, a mixed devotee, may be unwilling to take it, but the Lord gives it. Ichchādhidhāna nijapāda phalabhava. Swayam vidatte bhajatam anicchitam. Even though you don't want it, the mother forces you to take some sweet preparation. And by gaining the taste of that sweet, you give up the taste for the mind. Similarly, the Lord gives shelter at His own lotus feet, and that is His special mercy. One form of special mercy. So whenever the special mercy concept is discussed, we discuss the point about the Lord taking everything away. That is one form of special mercy. He also gives shelter at His lotus feet. That's another form of special mercy. By that shelter, one is satisfied, and by that satisfaction, one gives up attraction to matter. This is how here, as per my understanding, the demigods are becoming purified. Because they are approaching the Lord, they are admitting their fallen position, and they are praying for His blessings, even though it is motivated. Even though they still have their material attachments, the good thing about demigods is when they are in danger, they approach the Lord. So every time they come in contact with the Lord, purification is happening. That is happening in stages for the demigods. So the Lord, by putting them through all this, He is putting the demigods through all these tribulations. In one sense, He is shaking their faith that they have in material enjoyment. Because that's how they landed up in heaven. They have faith in the process of ritual, they have faith that I can go and enjoy. So that is being shaken by all of these setbacks, potential dangers. And when they don't have anywhere else to go to, they come back to the senses. We are not independent controllers, we are not independent enjoyers, although we may think like that. So their mentality of lording it over or being having that Ishwara Bhava, the Lord knows their tendencies and He delegates them. Okay, you have this tendency, this is the service that you can do, do and become purified. So this is the Lord expertly engaging a person according to his nature and getting his administrative work also done, simultaneously purifying them. So we see that in the case of Prajapati Daksha, he wants to create progeny. The Lord also has a desire that population has to increase. So then there is a match between, in typical corporate terms, the candidate's aspirations and the company's vision, mission, goal, all of that. So there is a match. So the Lord said, okay, you have the desire, let's get into a, what is that, contract here, and here is the contract, go for it. Like that, the Lord knows that certain living entities have this tendency to lord over, and they have done those ritualistic sacrifices, and go ahead and administer, enjoy, get those propensities used in the service, and then become purified. So when they are enjoying the heaven, that's when they are enjoying the punya. And when it is over, they have to come down again. Shiva punya mati loka vishnu. And that's when they take the path of rain, all of that sequence which is described in the Gita. And they rain, the rain, all of that. So then again they take birth. So the whole principle of the Lord purifying the demigods, shaking their faith in material enjoyment, and when they are in a position to listen and they become sober, then He is going to give instructions. Because you cannot instruct a person who is steeped in Janma, Aishwarya, Shuddha, all of that. When all of that is taken away, it's put in danger. So then they come and surrender to the Lord, they ask and they pray. they are not seeing the Lord, and then the purification is happening. Now, when I was going through this nature of the prayers of the demigods, how they are praying to harm another devotee. Because Dhritarashtra is a devotee of the Lord, because the Lord himself says, he is my devotee, he will not harm me. In one sense, you can say Dhritarashtra is like in concrete terms, he is a Vishnu certified demon. He is a demon, but he is certified by Vishnu that he is my devotee. He carries that. I am a devotee of the Lord, but I am the body of the demon. You see many instances like Mahajan, like Talab Maharaj, body of demon, with the consciousness of a devotee. So the Lord says that he is my devotee. Unfortunately, the demigods are not able to see the exalted position and they are praying to the Lord to kill him. So, a classic clash between the devotees. Both are devotees to the Lord. And you see the prayers of these devotees, we can understand their position where they are. So, if a devotee is praying to the Lord, he is worshipping the deity, he is following the rules and regulations, but he wants to harm another devotee, and he is praying for that, then that is not considered as a pure devotion. It is considered as mixed devotion. That mix specifically Lord Kapila described in the 29th chapter of the 3rd canto. The mix due to the modes and how a practitioner can be in the modes. So if you are praying to the Lord, doing all those rituals and trying to please the Lord with the intention to harm another devotee, out of your envy, out of your hatred, and that is said to be bhakti covered by the mode of, the practitioner of the bhakti is covered by the mode of ignorance. So Lord Kapila describes that such a devotee, he worships the Lord, he has anger, he has intentions of violence, he is covered by pride, his heart is full of hatred, he lacks compassion. These are the qualities of a practitioner practicing bhakti in the mode of ignorance. So, as per my understanding, at least in this situation, the demigods, their bhakti seems to be in the mode of ignorance and passion. So let's see how Lord Kapila describes a person in the mode of passion worshipping the Lord. So a person in the mode of passion worships the Lord, does bhakti. He asks for name, fame, wealth, all of them, and desires for other objects. So the contamination through the modes affects the practitioner, and there bhakti is being implicated by all of this. Bhakti in itself is beyond all the modes, but the practitioner comes under the modes, and then his intention, which is supposed to only please the Lord, becomes covered, abhutam, covered by all of this. Now, what can we learn from this particular mentality of the demigods trying to pray to the Lord with selfish motives, with anger, hatred, envy towards another devotee whom they don't know as a devotee? I'm not sure, as far as my understanding, I'm not sure if the demigods understand the position of Dhritarashtra as a devotee or not. I'm assuming they know he is a devotee and they still want to kill him. Then we need to learn a lesson from the fact that we need to know what we are asking the Lord for. Whether it is going to benefit us or harm us, because by harming another devotee, you are again going to become implicated. So it is better for us as a sadhakas to reflect the nature of our prayers, what are we praying for, and if these mixed by the modes of ignorance or passion, or even by goodness, how do we identify it is by understanding the characteristics of the bhakti of a practitioner in the mode of ignorance, practitioner in the mode of passion, and practitioner in the mode of goodness. By knowledge of that, one will be able to reflect on what am I praying for, what is the implication of it. Because the demigods, when in the Bharat Varsha, they pray for heaven, thinking that heaven is going to be heaven. But heaven is not actually heaven. So they are now they are praying for demigods, they are praying for king or another devotee. So what's my motive? How I need to constantly check. Now here is where the distinction lies in terms of what should we ask the Lord to remove, what should we ask the Lord to fulfill. So desires as such, if we take a close look, they can be born from our own nature, swabhava. Or another option is desires which are born from your what you value, which you call as a value system. So if we analyze them, desires born out of swabhava, desires born out of value system. The value system teaches you this is good, this is bad, and do this, don't do this. Even for to live as a human, there are certain do's and don'ts which Manu Samhita gives. As far as bhakti, there are certain items which are favorable, which are not favorable. And within your swabhava also, as Krishna describes, Brahma Karma Swabhavatam, Vaishya Karma Swabhavatam, he's talking about the innate qualities that you are born with, which is based on your previous activities, and you have acquired a certain kind of guna, and you are acting in a certain way. Even from there, you have a certain set of desires which are conducive for bhakti, which are not conducive for bhakti. So to pray to the Lord, a mixed devotee will pray to the Lord to fulfill his anantas. Because killing another devotee or asking for name and fame is an anantha. So as practicing sadhakas, we should not do that. We should pray to the Lord, identifying this is my shortcoming, this is something that I am praying to get removed. And these are specifically termed as anarthas. So we should identify them as these are anarthas, and my dear Lord, I am ashamed to come in front of you and stand. Thank you for showing this to me as my own shortcoming. I am embarrassed to stand in front of you. Kindly help me to get this removed. Rather than asking for those desires to get fulfilled, which may eventually put you in a bad situation, it's better to pray to the Lord to remove those anarthas. And those desires which are favorable to the Lord, for example, you want to please the Guru by serving his mission, you want to be very regular in your morning program, you want to be regular in your sadhana, you are having struggles. So they are all good desires, but you are having challenges in fulfilling those desires which are pratikul. At that time, you ask the Lord to give you the strength to fulfill those desires. They are called as abhilashas. Even in those abhilashas, there could be a mix of, okay, I want something out of that. So the mix could be due to jnana and karma. So those are yoga. Those are, even in the abhilashas, one has to be careful. So And that's when here we see the demigods are in that category of Sakama bhaktas. But unfortunately, in this instance, they seem to be praying to the Lord to fulfill their desire of killing a devotee who is in the body of a demon. So this particular struggle which the sadhaka goes through is nicely described by Lord Krishna in 11th canto, where the sadhaka has awakened his faith in the Lord. His shraddha is towards the process of bhakti, but he still has some material attachments. But the right mentality Krishna describes, he must be disgusted. But still, he is unable to give up those acts of sense gratification. But he sincerely repents for it. So Krishna is teaching multiple things. He tells that this is the state that everyone has to go through. That when you are going through the process of purification, this is a tug of war or a struggle that a sadhaka goes through. You have faith in me, you are attracted to me, you have faith in the process of bhakti, you are disgusted with material activities. At the same time, you are not able to give up sense gratification. So he says, Jati Shrato Matkatashu Nirvina Sarva Karmashu. He has awakened his faith, his disgusted with material activities. Understand, theoretically I know, Veda Dukkatmakam Kama. Understand that sense gratification leads to misery. Still, Parityagi Abhi Anishwara. Still unable to give up sense gratification. Yushamanastatam Kama Dukko Dharkam Sakarane. He sincerely repents that I forced my Swabhava to do this. So, in that section, it is described, and in the Gita also Krishna describes that one shouldn't come under the force of the pushings from by one's Swabhava, but rather one should control one's lower nature by not acting on those desires. Desires which are prompting you to go away from Krishna, which is based on your Swabhava. Don't act on them. If by force you have acted on them, repent for it and pray for the Lord to remove them rather than praying the Lord to fulfill them. So he says, finally in that section, Tato Vajeta Maam Prita Shraddhalu Trida Nishtaya. Remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. So the action items for us is pray for the fulfillment of desires which will please the Lord. Pray for the removal of the obstacles and the anarthas which are taking you away from the Lord. So when you are going through this struggle, don't lose faith. And don't give up the struggle, because that struggle everyone has to go through. And here we typically see the demigods are going through that. They know this is temporary, they are disgusted, but they are still not able to give up. And they are praying to the Lord, but unfortunately they are praying to the Lord for the wrong purpose. And the Lord is in front of you. They can ask for something better, and that's why the Lord will mildly chastise them. So as practicing sadhaka, we also need to know what is mixed devotion and what is pure devotion. Then try to be correct. So that requires education and guidance. So the final point is, when you are going through the struggle, continue with enthusiasm and determination. And that's when I wanted to focus on the next aspect, that is anukampa. Is there by compassion, Sakte Ankampa, which Gopalesha covered nicely yesterday. So this Ankampa, this compassion, the Lord shows to the devotee. Even in the Gita, we have this Chatur Shloki Gita, The latter is where Anukampa comes in.
Tesham
evan kanukampa. So the compact is for Tesha evan kampatam. Aham ajnana jantam. Nashayami atman bhavasur. Jnanati fam bhashatam. So the compassion of the Lord is showing by removing the darkness in the heart. And it is the same compassion that the Lord showed, and Prahlad Maharaj appreciated that. You didn't even show this compassion, putting your hand on my head. You didn't even do that for Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva or even to Mother Lakshmi, but you did that to me. So one has to be enthusiastic and have the determination when you are going through the struggle. This struggle, as I was reading to His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, his book Spiritual Warrior. When you are going through the struggle, you may, but most of the devotees will go through the period that they face what is called as the dark night of the soul. The clash between one's own swabhava, the desire to don't know their own swabhava, which is pulling them away from Krishna, and then the desires which are there, which are taking you towards the Lord. So this struggle, Maharaj describes this famous term, it is there in Krishnandi as well, the dark night of the soul. So I'll read a few sections and we will take a few lessons from that. When a person is going through that, what should you do? And if you see others going through it, what should you do? In the process of freeing ourselves from material entanglements, we may experience a dark night of the soul, which is a period of serious testing. This is a period of serious testing. In order to fortify us from such difficult periods, esoteric teachings emphasize the need to be regulated and unaffected by happiness and distress. Unquote. Here we can clearly see what to expect. It is going to be a serious test when the struggle is going on. Initially, when you take up the process, you will have the Lord helping you by giving you that new taste, because singing and dancing and feasting, you're getting to meet new people, it's all goody-goody period. And then period may come. The Lord actually enthuses by giving all of that. But when the serious testing period comes, all of that is withdrawn. The Lord Himself may not give those. And you feel what is called as a dry period. And that's what Maharaj describes here. And in that dry period, the practitioner may think that this period is going to be unending. There's no end to this dark period, and it will not finish. The Sagara thinks, everything seems to go wrong. I am doing everything correct, but everything seems to go wrong. He may be tempted to think, even God does not love me. I am chanting, I am praying, I am meditating, I am fasting, I have become a vegetarian, I am kind to people, I read scriptures, I respect the saints, I have a spiritual teacher, I am doing everything I know how to do, but still the Lord doesn't love me. These are some of the internal dialogues and go through a person who's passing through that dark end of the soul. Samadhi advises that first thing he says about this, one has to be equipoised. One has to show the maturity during this period where you're being tested. And Maharaj goes on to explain this, mentioning a few points. Some devotees may even go through depression, which may seem like a material depression, but it is actually not. The first thing, based on points which I managed to collect from the limited time, is to remain equipoised. Even when people around you may misunderstand you, he is talking about a devotee circle. People around you may misunderstand you, they may want to help you, but they may not know how to help you. And you may face situations where you may even be felt let down by people around you. And that's what the whole series of internal dialogue goes on. I have people, I am kind to people, I have a spiritual teacher, I'm doing all of this, nothing is working. So at that time, Maharaj asks to persevere and not to be affected by the dualities. The second major thing he says, by quoting some real life examples, as to how firefighters and then the paramedics, he gives two examples, how they are prepared and they anticipate these kind of testing periods. Firefighters, they know exactly when the siren goes, what to do. They dress themselves properly, they come down, they catch a pole, and then they come down, and then they have a standard operating procedure. Maharaj is encouraging spiritual warriors who are going through the dark night of the soul by remembering the anukampa, the compassion of the Lord. This is also a special form of compassion of the Lord. So he gives, Maharaj gives an example of, you're holding on to few attachments which has to be taken away. So when things are taken away from you, understand that these are the attachments that you're trying to hold on to. Rather than resisting it, let go of the attachments so that you can raise to a higher platform. The Lord wants you to move to a higher platform of consciousness, and for the grace to come, if you're holding on to certain things, if I'm holding on to four things in my hand, if somebody wants to give something else, I can't receive it. So Lord, by His own compassion, He takes them away from your hands. And that's why Maharaj gives this principle of akinchana. The Lord sometimes intervenes in our life to take everything away. Although we may not understand His reasons at that time, the Lord is actually clearing the path for something greater. We cannot receive His gifts unless we stop clinging to what we already have. We often need a divine push and let go. When this push comes, we may cry out in anguish, "Oh God, I have nothing." But we must remember at this time that everything happens for a purpose. If God does not remove our old attachments, He may find our hands too full to receive the blessings He wishes to bestow. If God does not remove our old attachments, He may find our hands too full to receive the blessings He wishes to bestow. This philosophical understanding and how to get that push and live through that, this is where we need to take shelter what Rupa Goswami says as like-minded, affectionate, advanced devotees. Is not this is from you going through the period of dark night of the soul, and when you see others going through the dark night of the soul, and when you see that their actions may indicate that they fall from their position, as it may seem as if they may have fallen from their position, how do you view and how do you react and how do you help in those situations is described in the Gita itself. Where if a person, a sadhu, comes something very abominable, Krishna says that he is still sentient. Why is that? Because he is still continuing the process. There are two things, a person committing abominable action and still continuing bhakti. And we have another person viewing this. How this particular saintly person is coming and being abominable, and how do you view? Krishna describes that you should still view him as a sadhu. Why is that? It's because this person is still continuing his bhakti. Eventually, by your compassion, as under this quoted verse, Krishna removes the darkness and the ignorance. There is between him and Krishna the struggle that they will do. We as an observer, we may not understand the struggle that they are going through, but at least we should condemn them for their shortcomings. You still have to view them as saintly. Because you are a devotee, you must have faith in the process of devotional service, that the bhakti that he is doing is more powerful and that will overcome the shortcomings that he has. If you treat him and you label him as a non-sadhu or a convict, then what you're doing is you're putting more faith in his anartha, his shortcomings, than the process of bhakti. So then, therefore, you're not a devotee. So that's why Krishna says, it becomes righteous. The devotee who is undergoing the dark night of the soul and struggling and sometimes may fall, but sticks to the process. He is righteous, and when you see him as a saint and you have faith in the process of bhakti, thinking that the bhakti will overpower his anartha, then you also become righteous because you have faith in bhakti. That's when all this anukampa, with this compassion, is required. Where one, as a fellow devotee, you also show compassion to them. We may not have to agree, or we may not have to replicate the wrong actions of the devotee, saying that that's the standard that I need to follow. We don't need to do that. If he's committing something abominable, we shouldn't think that's the standard that I start following it. No, not necessarily. You check your Guru Sadhu Shastra. If it is not, and we know this is how I should not behave, and correct ourselves. At the same time, he is continuing his bhakti. Bhakti will purify. So we have to take in the bhakti. So, Bhakti Maharaj describes that spiritual warriors need that kind of vision towards others, and they also need to understand, and when you are going through the struggle, spiritual warriors need reinforcement. I'll read that section. Many spiritual warriors undergo a dark night of soul during which they question the whole conception of God. Some emerge with their faith intact, although institutions they depended upon no longer exist, or techniques they relied upon previously are simply not effective anymore. Many souls can be lost if not guided properly. Wounded soldiers must receive reinforcements. Wounded soldiers must receive reinforcement. So this is an angle that we can look at, and you're trying to help other devotees, when they are going through the darkening of the soul, when they are going through the struggle, we can help them. And that's how we are taking in the mood of the Lord, showing compassion. I will finish there and see if there are any questions, comments on what we discussed.
Thank you.
Finish it. Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.